Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Hockey Podcast. It is Wednesday, December 20th. Very happy to welcome my very first guest of the podcast. I've got with me today Brett Duboff of Fantrax.
Yep.
Brett, if you'd like to take a couple minutes to plug all your work and let everyone know all of the great things you're doing over there.
Yeah, so I write streaming selections on Fantrax, on the Fantrax blog, every Monday. I also have a podcast called Lace Them Up that's on Fantrax Radio as well. So that's just general hockey, not necessarily fantasy hockey related.
But great. Yeah. And can you tell the listeners how you can be reached on social media?
Oh, yeah. My Twitter is bbduboff, D-U-B-O-F-F. Yeah, and I think that's really the only way you can reach me right now. So,
all right. Great. So we've got a bit of an eclectic list, and how I typically do this each week is that I'm going through based on the week and checking to see who the hot players were from the week before and trying to pick out some of the standouts from that week. I'm going to start mixing in talking about individual teams and how their fantasy, anything about them that's fantasy relevant, as in a lot of cases we go through and we do team previews before the year starts, but as we get into the year, some of that stuff falls off and we can lose context on some of the teams. So really happy to have Brett on with us, as he lives in Boston, so have lots of Boston Bruins perspective for us.
Yep.
So let's get going. First player I want to talk about is Brian Boyle. I guess if you follow hockey, it's hard to avoid Brian Boyle's story this year. Boyle was diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia back in September. For the most part, he's just returned. He's only played, I think, 23 games for the Devils this year. Had a great week last week with 7 points. What are your thoughts on Brian Boyle?
Yeah, he's been pretty good so far. At least in the month of December, where he had 5 goals, 4 assists so far in the month of December. But yeah, and it's also, he's like a surefire candidate for a Masterton Award right now. So he's been pretty good for them so far, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think for probably the biggest value he's brought to the Devils this year has, I mean, been probably maturity. As the Devils have gone from being the worst team in the league to a division leader in the Metropolitan right now, which has been a pretty stacked division right now. So, I mean, he's not necessarily a guy that I'm going to bank on long-term to be fantasy relevant, as I'm not sure he's ever truly been fantasy relevant outside of maybe extremely deep leagues in the past.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I don't know if he's necessarily going to be sustainable right now, just because, like, his average time on ice is around 14 minutes. You know, he's on the third line most nights. I mean, he does have power. He's on the first power play unit, but I think like a lot of his production right now has a lot to do with the fact that, like, you know, the Devils have been decimated with injuries. Marcus Johansson is one of them. Kyle Palmieri, I think they have him back. Taylor Hall has been in and out of the lineup too. So it is kind of nice that they have a nice depth guy like Brian Boyle to help out. But I don't think this is a sustainable run that he's had so far.
Yeah, definitely a stream play.
Yep, for sure.
Great. Next guy I have listed here, is my defenseman for the week, and that's Tyson Barrie. Normally I end up having to search a little bit harder for my defenseman. I'm usually searching by average shifts or by time on ice. But Barrie put up 6 points this week, which is now putting him, I haven't checked this morning, but at least as of this time yesterday, he was tied for the points lead of among defensemen. Big bounce back, only had 38 points all last year. He's at 27 right now. Do you see Tyson Barrie continuing this pace moving forward, or do you think he's going to slow down?
I mean, he has the track record so far. I mean, he had a couple of years ago, he had 49 points, which is pretty good for a defenseman. Last year, he had 38 points. So he's like, and so far he has 27 points, which is, and he had 53 points, which was his career high a couple of years ago. So he's well on his way to even like surpass all those numbers now if he keeps the pace. Colorado's an interesting team right now because they, you know, once they traded Matt Duchene, it seems like they've gotten better for some reason. Like Nathan MacKinnon has stepped up, Gabriel Landeskog has stepped up. Rantanen has also stepped up as well. So they've been able to suffer not suffer the loss, but come back from that loss of what Duchene brought to the table there. So I think like Tyson Barrie is definitely able to keep up the pace. It's just a matter of if the other team, you know, if everyone around them can keep with the momentum that they've had so far that's gotten them this far.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about Duchene leaving and how many of the Colorado players have stepped up in his absence.
Yeah.
And seemingly, actually, since moving to Ottawa, the reciprocal of this same situation has happened there. I've made a few jokes, I think, on Twitter noting that it's becoming the curse of Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
As an Ottawa Senators fan, this was not my hopeful result of what was going to happen in that trade. But yeah, I mean, my only concern, I think, left about Tyson Barrie at this point is I agree. I think the points are going to be there. He's got some track record of it being there. But depending on how your league is structured and how you gain points, Tyson Barrie also has had some disastrous minus years if you're in a plus minus league. And he's not really going to contribute you much in the penalty minutes because he's not, he's more of an offensive defenseman. He's not fighting, he's not gaining, and he doesn't do silly things, so he's not racking up penalty minutes that way.
True. I mean, I guess if you have any Avalanche players, you're not so focused on plus minuses. I tend to not really worry about the plus minus stack because I feel like it's such an arbitrary statistic to worry about. But that is a good point in terms of like if you do have a league in that counts plus minus or even a league that counts penalty minutes, that's a disadvantage for sure for Tyson Barrie.
Yeah. Okay. Next guy I want to talk, we're going to talk about Oliver Bjorkstrand. I'll do my best to hoping that I'm pronouncing his last name correctly.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah. He's
among the few Danish players in the NHL. Yeah. He's having a quiet 50 plus point season so far.
Yep.
And I feel like that's kind of the status quo for the Blue Jackets. Outside of Panarin, it's just they feel like a collection of guys. And maybe that's just how John Tortorella ends up putting teams together. But I always find it interesting. I mean, guys like Bjorkstrand, Josh Anderson, another guy who's currently, I mean, both of these guys are only 60% owned in Fantrax leagues. How do you feel about these types of players that always seem like, I always find that they're steady contributors, and you always need at least a couple of them on your team where they're not, I don't think of them as guys that I try to draft, because you always try to really draft upside, but you always have these guys that you can go and get off waivers or make a, get thrown in on a trade that are just going to be consistent and provide you that depth that you need.
Yeah, I actually wrote about Oliver Bjorkstrand in my article last week. He's been pretty good so far for them this year, on a career high pace, as you just mentioned, 50 points. He had he had 8 points in the last 10 games, and 22 points overall in 34 games. However, right now he's on the third line right winger according to Left Wing Lock and Daily Faceoff. I just look at his deployment and think this isn't sustainable. He's also getting around 14 minutes of average ice time, so that's a little concerning. But at the same time, he's been pretty good a couple of years beforehand. Like, he had 13 points in 26 games last year, 8 points in 12 games the year before that. He seems to be like an assist machine in a way, just always getting that assist. So I'm always a little careful of those kind of guys who are, who just tend to be more of a playmaker than a goal scorer. And it's just more in the fact that they don't shoot as much, and not like, they just always try to find the pass. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I think that's the one thing that you have to look at if you're going to get Bjorkstrand on your team. Bjorkstrand is a good streamer to have right now if he's hot. I think the Blue Jackets are kind of struggling at the moment, and Bjorkstrand's one of those guys that he could be a good once they figure things out or not. So.
Yeah, I think he was he might have been 5 points in 3 games last week. Columbus is typically they're going to be a team that, Bobrovsky, their goal is Bobrovsky will take them for the most part.
He actually had 6 points in 3 games last week.
But he's definitely making use of his time on ice.
Yeah. That's also a little concerning too, when, just in terms of the time on ice, and he has, although it is impressive that he has this many points with such a few, amount of time on ice, it's something you should be cautious about, because that's not sustainable either, in terms of that thing. Because usually, if you're getting that much points, you should be getting more ice time, but who knows? Theoretically, you're probably not getting a ton of chances if you're only averaging 13 minutes of ice.
I think 13 minutes would typically put you probably second, third line. I mean, first line.
Yeah,
you're right around 20.
I think that is a good question. I think first line's 18, 19, second line's maybe 16. So yeah, third line is probably 14-ish,
So, definitely a player to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the next player we're going to talk about is definitely a guy that fits easy into that 19-20 minutes a game. That's Patrick Kane.
Yep.
I guess I'll consider him the dunker of the week. I mean, certainly.
He's not a streamer.
Yeah, you're not streaming Patrick Kane. You may be using him in a DFS lineup, but he falls in. What's that?
Or you drafted him in the first one.
Yeah. Or you're, maybe if you're in a dynasty league or a really
deeper
league, he might be someone that maybe you could try to acquire, if you're willing to pay that hefty freight. given that he is not, he's not 30 yet, I don't think.
No, it's,
I think he's 28.
Yeah, he's up there though. Yeah, he's 29.
Yeah. Continues to be rock solid in his production. He's above a point a game right now. He's only 2 years off of his 106 point MVP year. I mean, I feel like he's safe that you can just put him in for 90 points every year. And I mean, probably the best part about owning Patrick Kane, especially if you've got an NHL package of any sort, is he's great to watch because he's skates so well, great vision. I mean, I'm not sure what else you can add about Patrick Kane. He's definitely among the players that I love to watch.
Yeah, he's certainly one of the funner. Oh, that's not a word. More fun players in the league right now. It is funny though, so I own Kane in one of my leagues, and I remember talking to like a friend of mine who also owns Kane in another league. And he was just talking about how they've been he's not sure if Kane will ever struggle. Kane's struggling right now. He hasn't been as good. And then I just look at his stats and he's a point per game player. And it's one of those things that he hasn't had the season that we've come to expect of him. And I think that has a lot to do with the team around him. But it is funny that he's still he has 34 points in 33 games on a team like the Blackhawks that are struggling offensively. So he's a guy you can always count on, which is something that we knew about, but, he hasn't been as Patrick Kane as we've come to expect right now, just because, he's kind of flown under the radar in some respects, in that sense.
Yeah. And some of this, I wonder, is just some of its media markets, I suppose. Yep. I mean, I think as soon as NBC starts picking up hockey games after the new year, I think we'll start seeing a ton of Blackhawks games,
Blackhawks, but yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, this is always, I mean, this, I've, this is also a time of year that always makes me feel a little bit old. Because I remember Patrick Kane playing at the World Juniors. And I don't know what kind of media coverage the World Junior Championships get in the US, but here in Canada, it's the biggest time of the year.
The World Juniors is one of those things that when it's if you notice it, then it's there, but not always you have to look for it kind of thing.
Yeah. I live about an hour southeast of Toronto. Okay. And they've been advertising the World Juniors in Buffalo here for about a year now to get your tickets. Hey, there's an outdoor game. And it's all people talk about for the longest time. Huge, it's a really big deal here. That's definitely something I always look forward to.
It's a cool event. I'll admit it's something that just as a hockey fanatic, it's something that's kind of cool that all the best prospects basically who aren't in the NHL right now. It's kind of a cool preview to see who are going to be the best players in a couple of years from now. So it's always an exciting time for that.
Yeah, and it is something that's unique to hockey, because you don't get this in with basketball.
Yeah, you don't get this in a lot of sports. It's true. Although I guess you get the March Madness for college basketball, which is kind of like that, but there's no guarantee that for instance, Markelle Fultz last year, who was the first overall pick, his team didn't make the
March Madness.
So there is something to that.
Yeah, for sure. If it's not something that I'm sure many of our listeners are probably in the US, so if you, it's something to check out if you get the opportunity and it's not something that you've watched to date, Best on best tournaments are typically always fun. And these are all guys that you'll see. I mean, there's a few players that have played in the NHL this year. But typically you'll see almost all of, you'll probably see the majority of the Canadian team, the American team. About half of the Finnish, Swedish and Russian teams in the NHL at some point in time in their careers.
Yeah, that seems about right. Also, you get to see Rasmus, like this year, you get to see the phenom of Rasmus Dahlin. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, that's how I've heard it, is Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah, be the first opportunity. I've had to see him outside of some YouTube videos.
He's pretty good so far, but he's like a, you know, he's kind of, this is like his biggest tournament so far, so that should be exciting to see.
Yeah, as well as I'm drawing a blank on the name of the Russian.
Andrei Shemnikov? No, I think that's his brother.
Svechnikov, yeah. Sergei. Is it Sergei?
Is it Sergei? I think, because I know he has a brother in Detroit.
Yeah.
Either Sergei or Andrei.
Just pulling this up right now.
And of course, Andrei Svechnikov.
Yeah. Who's also, from my understanding, has been great to watch. He hasn't made it into my local market quite yet.
Yeah. He does play for the Barrie Colts.
Yeah.
And I think he's been injured for the past couple of weeks. But
I think he's back now. He missed a few weeks early.
Is he back now?
And he's been back for a couple of weeks. So.
Got it.
He was scheduled, like the Barrie Colts were scheduled to be in my area, actually, I think on New Year's Day, which means he wouldn't be with the team anyways. So, the joys of living in Southern Ontario with when you want to look at prospects sometimes. Yes. Moving forward, the last player here is Henrik Lundqvist. Lundqvist had a really slow start, but he's really starting to pick it up as of late. He's up to a .918 save percentage, just 2 points off his career average now. He had a sparkling .930 save percentage last week while making 100 saves for what I think of as the surprising Rangers, but they seem to keep rolling.
Yeah.
I am a Lundqvist owner in a couple leagues this year. So I've held on and been patient, but what do you think of Lundqvist so far? And do you think, he's definitely playing more games than I think he should be.
Right.
But how do you see this playing out the rest of the way?
Yeah, it's always interesting for like older goalies, like guys like Lundqvist, Pekarinen, Roberto Luongo, even like Tuukka Rask to some regards, or like Corey Schneider. It's always interesting because they always seem to be a bit streaky at, or not as good as what they once were, but they're still like, fantasy relevant guys you want on your team, just because like they can go on runs like this. Yeah, Lundqvist has been pretty good so far in terms of the month of December. It seems like that's when he officially picked things up. I have here that he only has allowed 18 goals in December over the span of, which is like the span of 7 games so far. And he's brought it up to 920 save percentage and a 2.59 GAA. I think Lundqvist has, is definitely one of the best goalies in the world, even still today, even at 35 years old. But I think just when you own Lundqvist, or any old goalie, I think that's like it's just a sign that you have to like be careful, because you're not expecting the guy that he was like a couple of years ago, who like put up a 930 save percentage, or and like a 1.97 GAA in 2011. So, you know, you can't expect that, but like a 920 save percentage, I think, is around that range, is somewhat reasonable for Lundqvist.
Yeah, for sure. And I think in most cases, like if he's getting you 920 save percentage, it's probably great draft value, because you didn't have to take him as one of the didn't take him as one of the top 10 goalies.
Like you probably got him in like the 10th round or 12th, something like that. So so that's pretty good value for a guy like that in that round.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely a guy to keep an eye on. It'll be interesting to see what the Rangers do with the backup. Because I don't they don't really have a great, like, they have an aging backup right now.
Yep.
Which doesn't,
although hasn't Pavlich been, I haven't looked too much. I think Pavlich has been decent so far. He hasn't gotten a ton of time. He has a 914 save percentage in 8 games played so far, so I guess there is, it hasn't been great, I guess.
And the biggest part that worries me is that I feel like they don't trust him enough to play him more.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that is something interesting that I hadn't thought about before, is the fact that, like, you have an aging guy like Lundqvist, you'd expect, like, to have at least, like, a young guy as a backup, like they had last year with Antti Raanta, but yeah, Pavlich hasn't been, isn't really that guy that you can really trust, I would say. That is an interesting negative aspect of this.
Yeah, and I won't be surprised to see the Rangers go out and make a move, maybe to go and get a backup. Because if they're going to make any sort of deep playoff run this year, which I don't think they will, just based on their team, but I mean, they're in the playoff spot right now. I mean, we've got a lot of hockey left to play, but if they burn out Lundqvist come, you know, February or March, it's going to be a rough go for them the rest of the way if they're going to have to rely on Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, that is a good point. I think this team, like, is a ride or die on Henrik Lundqvist, they have been for the past couple of years, so that's not a huge deal, but yeah, you're right, in terms of, like, just in terms of long-term and being in the playoffs, I think that will have an effect on them if Lundqvist is expected to be that guy for a long time. So,
yeah, for sure. All right. Now getting into it, I think what the part of the show that I'm looking forward to the most is, and this is getting to talk with the Bruins a little bit. Boston is a, and correct me anywhere I'm wrong, because this is all just my perception, but Boston, I was thinking about this last night as I watched the Bruins and Sabres game, and that Boston's probably the only place that I can think of where you could consistently go and watch a different team play pretty good hockey almost every night, when you consider you've got the Bruins, you've got Boston College, you've got Boston U, you've got Harvard.
Are you talking about in terms of hockey? Or?
Yeah, just hockey in general. If you wanted to go and watch a different team every night, I feel like you could probably do so. And Northeast.
Yeah, we have a lot of good hockey teams, like the UPC. Even Northeastern's now pretty good. There is a lot of good UMass, Lowell, even UMass Amherst. So, yeah, we have a lot of teams around here.
But that strikes me as rare. As I mean, even Toronto doesn't have that much hockey that you can go and watch.
Yeah, I think the only place I can think of that is close to that is probably Minnesota. But I hadn't really thought about the fact that we have a lot of hockey teams, just in terms of like on the college level and the pro level. So that's nice.
Yeah. And then looking at some of the fantasy aspects of the Bruins so far this year, some things that have stuck out to me. I mean, I'm really interested in wondering is, should we be able to, can we trust Tuukka Rask? Or should we be, should fantasy players be buying more into Anton Khudobin? As he's really started to eat into Rask's time. I mean, Rask has been among the best goalies in the NHL for several years now, probably at least four. I always have some love for Tuukka Rask as an anti Maple Leafs fan, just because he was the one that they gave away and got more or less nothing in return for. But what do you think of? I mean, it looks like Rask has been playing better, but how do you see this playing out for the Bruins in goal?
Well, yeah, this has been like a conversation among Bruins fans for the past couple of years right now, because you know, the past couple of years Tuukka had a decent save percentage with 915. He currently has a 912 save percentage, but it's always been a thing, like, with, like, especially if you've listened to sports radio here, Michael Felger, he's like a hothead contrarian in our hosts here, which I kind of get angry about on my Lace Them Up show. But, you know, a lot of them just, like, think that he's not that good and that we should trade him and he should just be a backup now. And to me, I find that just utter ridiculousness, considering that I feel like the reasons why he struggled so far has been, or at least early in the season, this season, especially this season, is mostly just the team around him hasn't been as good. You know, we lost guys like Johnny Boychuk a couple of years ago. Dougie Hamilton had an effect. The loss of Dougie Hamilton had an effect on the team as well. So I think there's a few other guys. And, you know, Chara has been, you know, still pretty good, but he hasn't been as good as he used to be as well. So that has an effect on the team as well. So I think, like, a lot of whenever the Bruins do struggle, it's not necessarily Tuukka Rask's fault. It's more just the team around him that hasn't been giving him a good chance to make saves, or, you know, it's just the defense that has messed up. But in terms of, like, if we should be worried about Khudobin, I don't think we should necessarily, just especially now. Like, Khudobin has only played in three games so far in December, and those were, again, two of them were on the last end of the back-to-back. And, you know, he gave up four goals to Washington and Nashville, which are, you know, two tough teams, of course. And then he shut out the Buffalo Sabres last night. But I don't think we necessarily need to be worried about it, especially now that Tuukka Rask has seemingly got it going on. But I think I don't think you can, like, just like what we were just talking about with Lundqvist and the Rangers situation as backups, it's like it's a good thing to have, that you can have a guy like Khudobin who in his own right hasn't been as consistent either. And, you know, but now, you know, we have two backups, which is something we'll need in the long run once we make this playoff push.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, I'm in the terms of fantasy, like, if someone's selling on Rask, I'm buying.
Yeah. I have Tuukka in a couple of leagues, and you know, and he's one of my favorite players. So I feel like he's like, whenever the Bruins are down, like, it's like 4-0 or something, there's a good chance that, like, without Tuukka, it would be like 8-0. So yeah, it's never, like, I'm not saying it's always it's never Tuukka Rask's fault, because that's ridiculous. But I think for the most part, he is, you know, the Bruins would be like a lottery team without him. So,
yeah, it is important to, I think, to remember that, you know, the Bruins are going through a pretty large overhaul in the last few years, right?
So far, yeah.
Like, when you consider, like, if you go back and you look at the roster of the Stanley Cup winning team and you look at the roster they have now,
yeah,
there's not a whole lot of pieces left in place, right? You've got...
Other than Bergeron, Marchand, and Chara.
Chara, yeah.
And Krejci, but yeah.
But, yeah, definitely worth... I mean, if you got someone in your league that's looking to get rid of Rask because they don't think he's going to be the starter the rest of the way, I would definitely be asking what they're looking for.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry so far in terms of starting material, but like in terms of Rask Rask is the starter for the rest of the way. I'll say that. But yeah, Khudobin has been pretty good though, when he has gotten the chance to play. I just don't think he'll have enough starts to warrant, owning him in leagues.
Yeah. Not unless there's an injury that crops up where you're
of playing. Course, yeah, yeah. Or like, really like if you do have Rask in a league and you can afford it, you might want to pick Khudobin up, just in case, but, yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, I understand if you were worried about it, like, in November and December when Tuukka was actually struggling, I could understand picking him up right now. But Khudobin hasn't been as good as he has been early in the season, too. So there is just something to think about in terms of that.
Yeah. And the next Bruins player I want to talk about is the young Charles McAvoy. Charlie. Sorry. He's been great. I think is probably putting it mildly as a rookie. How much have you seen McAvoy play? I mean, he's a Boston U guy. Is that right?
Yeah, he's a BU guy. He's been one of the bright spots of the Bruins season so far. He's been pretty good. He can hit. He got in a fight against Columbus on Monday, and that was exciting too. So you know, he can hit. He can block shots, and all that stuff. The one concern I have for him this year, though, is, like, he's producing so far, at least. He got an assist against Buffalo last night, and then he got a goal and an assist and a fight, a Gordie Howe hat trick on Monday. But I think the bigger concern is just the fact that he has Torrey Krug, who's eating up on his time in terms of and his opportunities to shoot and score. In terms of like a fantasy perspective, that is a little concerning. But, you know, he is projected to get around 50 points so far, so he is still getting some production right now. I would hold off for him right now in terms of if you're like, I'd temper your expectations at the moment in one-year leagues. But if you have him in a keeper league and dynasty league, he's a good player to have.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's – I mean, I know that this is a stretch. As the Bruins are known for – I mean, they've had a stalwart defenseman for at least as long as I can remember.
Yeah, Bobby Orr, Ray Bourque, Zdeno Chara. So he has a lot of shoes to fill, or big
shoes. Yeah, really big shoes to fill.
Yep.
But it seems like he might be the right guy to fill those shoes moving forward.
That sounds about right. It's like for a while now, as I just mentioned, you know, we lost. I keep on saying we, like I'm a part of the team. The Bruins have had an issue with, like, who's going to replace Chara when he retires. And that's been a thing, especially when Dougie Hamilton left. And we hadn't really been great in the draft. So that's always been an issue with us in terms of, or with the Bruins, is like, who's going to be that guy to be the defenseman. And it will probably be Torrey Krug for some time, but Charlie McAvoy is definitely the future in terms of like this guy is going to take on the pressure of being like a guy you can rely on. I've been hearing that he's like, he has some, not just me, but like he has like a Drew Doughty comparisons in terms of the fact that he can hit and, you know, he can also shoot, and he's been pretty defensive as well, so he can do a lot of things. Although I think like Drew Doughty, it's a little different considering that Drew Doughty, his rookie year, you know, didn't have like a Torrey Krug and Zdeno Chara to help him.
And I think the other thing you'd have to consider there too is I think Drew Doughty in his rookie year was 18.
Yeah, that's true. And Charlie McAvoy is 19. But that's not like
it's not a huge stretch, yeah. But yeah, he definitely seems he's an offensive defenseman who plays in the defensive end. So I think of them as, he's not quite like in the realm of the full scale, like you would put him ahead of maybe where Erik Karlsson was at 18. Maybe not an elite skater the way Karlsson is, but Karlsson has just started to figure out how to play in his own end in the last couple of years. But McAvoy is already at that point. I wouldn't be surprised to see a 60 point year or a few 60 point years out of him.
Yeah, I was thinking, I think his ceiling is probably around 70 or 60 points. I think that's somewhat reasonable. Another point I want to point out is he's getting like 23 average ice time right now, or around 23 minutes of ice time, which is incredible for a rookie defenseman. So kudos for him, and he's still on the plus side of a plus minus. So that's a good thing to hear for a rookie. Kind of reminds me of Zach Werenski last year, where he got a lot of ice time and was a big part of the power play, and has been pretty good so far this year. But like, you know, McAvoy's well on that way in terms of that. So I don't think he's like Werenski in that sense, where he's putting up the points, but he has been pretty good. Still, in terms of ice time.
Yeah. Okay. And the next Bruins player I wanted to talk about was Danton Heinen, and it's mostly just because this one really snuck up on me. And as a person who at times considers himself a movie buff, all I could think of when I saw his first name was like, oh, maybe you should just be called the great Danton, if you've ever seen The Prestige. But is Danton Heinen for real? Like, what should people expect from Danton Heinen?
He was pretty good for just a brief background. He was decent in college. He went to University of Denver. He had 48 points in 41 games his last year, and then like in 2016 he was. He went to Boston for a couple of games, and he didn't score at all. But I think this it should be noted that I think this was when Claude Julien was the coach. Yeah, this was early in the season. So, this was back when Claude Julien was the coach, and And then he went to Providence and had a 44-point season in 64 games, most of which were under Bruce Cassidy when he was the Providence Bruins coach down there. So he's been able to transition up here in the NHL, 22 points in 28 games, which is of course impressive, especially considering like he's a fourth round draft pick and he's only 22 years old. I think like the thing that it's good to see that this is like a depth guy and he's been doing really well so far. I'm not sure if we can expect too much out of him, but just because of his ice time, and it looks like he's on the second line right now, but he's also not on the first power play like he was when the Bruins had all those injuries. So, I don't know. I think I could see like right now he might get like if he keeps up. He's been hot lately, so I could see him getting like maybe 50 or 60 points would be his range. If he keeps up this pace, but you also have to like temper some range where he'll or expect that he'll be in a drought at some point this season. So I could see him maybe getting like 40 points is something to be expected, which of course isn't bad either.
Yeah, especially when you think about guys that you're just getting off waivers. Yep. And I suppose he's probably a guy that. I mean, when I think about the Bruins situation is they would I assume that they would probably look to start adding sometime after Christmas to try to add some more scoring depth, because I think correctly from them that's probably an issue for them right now is
actually, I mean, they've been pretty good. I always say we, they've been pretty good for in terms of secondary scoring. David Backes has been pretty good. The fourth line has been pretty good in terms of Tim Schaller, Sean Corrali, Danon Heinen, Andrews Bork, somewhat. It seems like the Bruins and Jake DeBrusk, not to mention him. It seems like, and Ryan Spooner as well. But it seems like the Bruins have been going with this youth movement. With like all those guys I just mentioned, where like a lot of these guys were with Bruce Cassidy in Providence last year, and now have just picked it up for him in the NHL season. So, and that's kind of contributed to him to all these guys succeeding well now, like Jake DeBrusk, especially. And Danon Heinen. So I don't know if they necessarily will try to get like another guy in terms of scoring, just because it seems like we've had that pretty much figured out. And, you know, there's still Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, who's been pretty good in the AHL right now in Providence. So they could send him up maybe late in the season if they need that. I just don't know if they'll necessarily make a move to be fully in on this season. But I do love this youth movement, and I think if they're going to bring somebody up, I think it'll be like a send a call up in season from the Providence.
Okay. And if you were to, so I just want to put this question out there is if you were to pick out one Bruins player who should be on your fantasy team, but probably isn't, who would it be?
As of right now, it's probably Jake DeBrusk. He's on the second line right now. He's on the left wing. He seems like he's been picking it up so far. and he has, he has 18 points. He had like this nifty, nice snipe against Buffalo last night, and he had another goal against Columbus Blue Jackets. He has four points in two games. So, you know, he's been pretty good in terms of he's been picking it up. So he may already be taken in your league. I don't know. It seems like he's got it figured out so far. And I think at the moment, I think Jake DeBrusque is a guy that you want on your team. Another guy to think about if you're in a deep league is David Backes, who's been pretty good off of injury. I'm expecting a bounce back is something that could happen with him. He's been pretty hot lately. He has 7 points in 15 games and like three points in the last two games or this week. So he's someone you should at least have on your watch list for the moment.
Yeah, and just looking this up, DeBrusque is currently owned in just 39% of all Fantrax leagues.
Yep.
Which means he's probably available in your league too if you play on Fantrax.
Probably.
And if my memory serves me correctly, I think he went 14th overall about 2 years ago.
That was the big draft where we had the Bruins had three
consecutive draft picks, right?
Three consecutive draft picks, and then we missed out on Matthew Barzal and Kyle Connor, which I still hear about as a Bruins fan to this day. But so far it seems like Jake DeBrusque. I mean, of course you'd still want Matthew Barzal because he's been doing pretty well in New York, but Jake DeBrusque hasn't been terrible. So at least there's one bright spot to that that whole fiasco.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also remember the draft was only 2 years ago. There's still lots of time for
exactly. There's still lots of time. I think I still think that like Zach Senyshyn will be pretty good. I don't know if he'll be as good as Kyle Connor and Matthew Barzal will be, but it is nice to see that Jake DeBrusque has been pretty good. In his stint right now, so that's certainly exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Just to wrap things up, Brett, I just want to thank you again for coming on and let everyone know again where you can be found on social media.
My Twitter is BB Duboff. That's the handle. I also write for Fantrax on every Monday doing a streaming selection. And then I also have if you can also check me out on Fantrax Radio, or more appropriately, Lace Them Up, which is my podcast that goes up every Friday. So,
All right. Great. And, thanks again. I just want to wish all of our listeners a happy holidays. I don't think you'll see another show from me until next year. And have a great fantasy hockey season.
Yeah, happy holidays, everyone.